Spoil yourself with Kerrygold Irish Cream Liqueur. This delicious grown-up treat is a perfectly balanced blend of three ingredients: natural Irish cream from grass-fed cows, velvety rich real chocolate, and whiskey that has been distilled and matured in Ireland for at least 3 years. Try it straight over ice, channel your inner mixologist and create your own specialty cocktail, or blend it with vanilla ice cream for the best adult milkshake you've ever had. Indulge in the smooth delight that is Kerrygold Irish Cream Liqueur.
Hi, this is Mimi Sheraton, author of 1,000 Foods to Eat Before You Die, and you are listening to Radio Cherry Bomb.
Hi everybody, and welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb. My name's Hester Cant, and I work for a food programme on the BBC in the UK called The Kitchen Cabinet. I'm here today representing the UK Bomb Squad, filling in for Kerry while she takes a well-deserved vacation. As many of you know, Cherry Bomb is an indie magazine about women and food. This week, in honour of our brand new issue, we have a very special read broadcast celebrating our newest cover girl, Martha Stewart. If you didn't get your copy yet, be sure to visit cherrybomb.com, your favourite indie bookstore, or Barnes & Noble. I'm already halfway through the issue and I love the Martha story. I love the piece on Samin Nosrat's new book, Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, and my personal favourite, our first ever She's the Boss section, filled with advice from the women making it happen. The following talk was recorded at our 2016 Jubilee Conference, when Martha sat down with Kerry for the keynote conversation. Martha has paved the way for so many in this industry, and we hope you enjoy this rebroadcast of her inspiring talk. We weren't sure what to expect when Martha took the stage, but she was funny, unapologetic, and as you're about to find out, incredibly honest.
Martha was gracious enough to let me crowdsource questions. So we, all week long, were asking our followers on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram to give us some questions, and they gave us more amazing questions than we could possibly ever pester Martha with. So if you did post one of those questions, thank you so much. So what I do want to say is the only thing we really do need to say about Martha is perhaps something we should say to Martha, which is thank you. So... and not just thank you for being here, that's the obvious thank you, but if it weren't for the trail that you blazed, Cherry Bomb would not exist. I can say that 100%. And a lot of us, many of us, wouldn't be sitting in this room right now. So every time we give an interview and they ask us about Cherry Bomb, we always talk about you and what you did to let us all get to this point. And I know a lot of you feel the same way.
By far, the number one question was where you find inspiration.
I find inspiration pretty much everywhere. And one thing that I have drivers, more than one driver, just because I work really long days, and you can only have a driver work 40 hours a week before it gets dangerous. So I think I have four drivers, and what drives them crazy is that I do not want to drive on the same street more than once in a day, because I get inspired going different directions, you know? It's, and why go on 23rd Street all the time when you can go on 21st Street, or why not, you know? So that's one thing. I always am looking for things, and I'm known to jump out of the car at any moment to see something if it catches my eye. I just got back this morning from Charleston, South Carolina, where I just went for a day and a half, really, but I got a lot of inspiration in Charleston. I hadn't been there for a couple of years, and I found lots and lots of interesting things there. So wherever I go, I'm running around looking. I walked 5 miles yesterday looking for inspiring things. I think I ate four dinners and three lunches in a day and a half. So I tasted a lot of good food. Went to lots of different stores, and it's very haphazard my information gathering, but it works.
So have you just stayed relentlessly curious?
Curiosity is my main characteristic.
You know, you mentioned being in the back of the car and going down different streets each time.
Not in the back of the car. I sit in the front seat.
Oh, you sit in the front seat.
Take front seats are have much better visibility, and in those stupid suburban cars, their windows are not tinted in the front. They're tinted in the back. You can't see anything out of the back of those cars.
Okay.
So I'm always in the front seat. Okay. I insist. And this morning, this is just for fun. Charlie Rose was at a party that I gave last night at down in South Carolina. He was down for the Masters. And he said, oh, I have to go home tomorrow at 9 o'clock. And I said, oh, I have a plane. Somebody gave me a plane to fly home in. And I said, you could come. And so he came, but he wanted me to sit in the back seat on the way to the airport, and I sit in the front seat. So that's why I don't have a boyfriend also.
I totally forgot my follow-up question. Okay, so Charlie Rose is nice. Okay, good to know. So when you are in that car, a lot of us have a tendency of being on our phones when we're a passenger, when we're in the back of the car. You are very active on social media and very successful on social media. How are you managing all your social media? How are you managing not to have your face in your phone all the time?
Well, it's really bad to do it in the car because the misspellings occur in the car because you bounce and there's a misspelled word. Then they say, oh, Martha, are you drunk? Rarely am I drunk. I don't drink very much, so I'm not drunk. But I think I must have large fingertips because and I don't have spell check because it's always spelling some other word that I don't want. So it's a problem. No, so I don't do it in the car so much, but I always have my iPhone with me charged. And that's another reason I sit in the front seat, because it's easy to charge everything. I have sort of a method. Twitter is just no more than 2 or 3 times a day at the most. Instagram is just when I have something interesting to show, and my personal Instagram, which is MarthaStewart48. And then Martha Stewart is our corporate Martha Stewart. I have to sometimes sort of divide myself up into fractions. And Martha Stewart is the bigger Instagram, which is a wonderful Instagram. And then Facebook is also partially managed by me, but mostly by other people in the company. We find social media a very, very helpful tool in growing a business and also in promoting product. We have lots of products, thousands of products to promote, and you have to do it where the customers are. You want to be where the customers are. And so if it's an ad, or if it's a TV ad, or if it's a radio, or if it's a magazine, or if it's social media, which is the least expensive, that's where you have to be. So, and I do have a blog too, which I love my blog, and I take most of the pictures for the blog, and it's usually 30, 40, 50, or 60 pictures a day that we post on the blog with accurate captions. It's more like writing a real magazine article every single day. So I do that with a woman called Jocelyn Santos, who's worked with me for many years. She was my pet editor, and she was a TV producer. But she's great, and she works at my house up in Bedford at the farm, and she has her own office there. And we work on the blog over the telephone in the early morning. She's there before I leave the house. And we put out this blog every single day, except once on the weekend. So it's 6 days a week. And that blog is very well read and very popular. But it covers a whole variety of subjects. I think this past week we covered a trip to Washington, and that'll be a 3-day blog because there was so much to see. And I want to encourage people to travel in a new way using the curators and the guides and the docents in these public places that really like it when you use them. And they love to teach. And I found the trip last week was an enlightening trip. I learned more about history last week than I think in my 8th grade trip, for example. And I found out that 8th graders are 30% of all tourists to Washington, D.C. Isn't that amazing?
What about Snapchat?
I don't do Snapchat. Not yet, but I don't know if I ever will. Facebook Live I do, and we've been doing it. We were asked by Facebook to be one of the guinea pigs for Facebook Live, and it was great from day one. Facebook Live is shot on an iPhone. One iPhone. You can supplement with lights if you want, and I always want because I think it's nicer to have a pretty picture than one that's dark or shadowy. And I do what I want to do. It's like making a television program, an hour-long program, with just a few people and spontaneously, and you can talk to your audience live at the moment. Yeah. So we've been averaging, I would say, probably 500,000 views per half hour or hour, and we've done maybe 10 so far of these Facebook Lives. I don't know how long that kind of giant audience will last, but I think it'll probably last a long time. Because I'm not on daily television. I'm only on twice a week with Martha Bakes and Martha's Cooking School on PBS and on Create and all those ancillary PBS stations. But it is very nice. And I'm having guests on. I did one with Seth Meyers for Valentine's Day. That was lots of fun. And Thomas Joseph, who I saw in the audience, my kitchen conundrums guru back there. Hi, Thomas. We did one just recently to promote Martha Bakes, and it was so much fun and instantaneous gratification and instantaneous promotion.
Martha, obviously one of the big things we talk about all day at Jubilee is mentors, mentoring, mentees, etc. Audra Mulkern, the photographer behind the Female Farmer Project, wants to know who were and who are your mentors.
Well, for farming, was my dad. My uncle, Shedletsky, who had a farm down in Ringo's, New Jersey. He had a dairy farm and grew a lot of corn and soybeans and things. He taught me the love of the farm. Mr. Fred Specht, who was the estate gardener at a garden that adjoined my property in Westport, Connecticut. I had 4 acres in Westport. Mr. Specht had 12-acre glorious garden of Hilla von Riebe, who actually was responsible. See, these stories get so convoluted, but it's true. These are true. He was the estate gardener of Hilla von Riebe, who was responsible because she had an affair with both Solomon Guggenheim and Frank Lloyd Wright. She got the Guggenheim Museum built, and. And she was a great gardener, and she lived in her beautiful federal mansion behind my house. She lived there, and her garden was a May-June garden, and then she moved up to, I think, Maine for August. But what a gorgeous garden, and he taught me about real gardening, ornamental flower gardens. And Julia Child, she was, I consider her a serious mentor. I was Julie before Julie showed up in the movies. I wish we had thought about that before the movie was made, because I cooked every single... On my honeymoon, I discovered Mastering the Art of French Cooking. It was written that year, I think. I won't tell you what year that was. You can look it up. And that was my honeymoon in France, and I stopped at the Cordon Bleu, and there's the book. I brought it home, and my friends really benefited for the next year of me cooking every single thing in that volume one. And then volume two came along, and I cooked every single thing in volume two many times. So she was my mentor. I loved her.
So how about from a business perspective?
Business perspective, mentors come and go. It's funny, you learn a lot from different people. I learned a lot about the internet from both Bill Gates and Charles Simonyi, who was a boyfriend. He wrote Word and Excel, and I learned a lot and questioned a lot about that and actually understood software for the first time.
You dated the guy who invented Word and Excel?
Yes.
I know Martha's done a lot, but that's impressive.
No, for us. That was just one person. Yeah. And I don't know if he invented it, but he developed the whole thing.
Close enough.
I was an early adopter of the computer and the internet, and I always thought, gosh, this is such a fantastic thing, the internet. And I've gotten much more depressed about it lately because I think that instead of being someplace where you can go to save time, and that's what I looked at, it's a time saver, and now I can garden more, I can plant more trees, I can grow more things, I can build more businesses. You actually spend way, way, way too much time on the internet, and you forget about doing the other things. You forget about reading a book. You forget about writing a book. You forget a lot because so much time is spent with your eyes glued to a stupid little screen. And I think we have to sort of adjust our ways in the coming years so that we don't do so much.
Along similar lines, Angela Durrell, who goes by the name Pet Foods on Instagram, wants to know, who do you admire or look up to?
I'm a hero worshiper. So I love people who do amazing things and make amazing things, create amazing things. So I have many heroes. It might be an athlete. I've gotten to know Serena Williams over. We made a movie together, one little tiny scene in Pixels, a stupid little scene. We were the love interest of Peter Dinklage. And we had to have a threesome with him because the president wanted to award him something, and all he wanted was a threesome with Martha and Serena. In the Lincoln bedroom. Just watch that scene. It takes 1 second. You can only watch the last part of Pixels and get that.
Isn't that a children's movie?
No.
Pixels? I don't even know what that...
No,
I thought that was
no,
a children's
it's
movie.
It's about video games. And they use video games to conquer the invaders from outer space who are coming to threaten America.
I don't know how I missed that movie, but I will check it out.
But I will pretty much do strange things like make a scene like that for the experience of making a scene like that. And those things really do help with self-confidence and with getting rid of nervousness. Because if you're not nervous doing a Justin Bieber roast, you won't get nervous doing much.
That's a great point. So we have some very specific questions from some folks out there. Caroline Dubin from The Smile in New York City wants to know about the catering and media worlds are very saturated today. If you were starting out now, do you think you'd still be able to create the same empire?
Oh, I'd create something very different. Oh yeah. I mean, I started when you really had to work really, really hard, physically, both physically and mentally. Catering, there's nothing harder than running a catering business or a restaurant. I think it's the most exhausting and difficult, and you're dealing with people who are just crabby all the time, and those are the clients, not the people you're working with. And it's very hard, and even just starting a magazine was so difficult. Fun, but I like challenges like that, but very, very difficult. I have a program in my mind that would benefit everybody in this room and everybody everywhere, and I'm going to, and I think that's the business I would start right now, and I think I'm going to start another business.
Can you explain more
about that? It's an organizer. It helps organize you. And that's another time saver. I want time savers because as you get older, time becomes much more precious. And it's flying by. I mean, I'm sure it's flying by for all of you in the room. We all experience the same amount of time. But it really is irksome that time becomes a focus. I've never focused on it before, and I'm starting to focus on it because I have these little grandchildren who are 4 and 5, and I want to see them get married and have children. And all my friends' children, grandchildren are married already, and I have 4 and 5, so it's a lot of pressure.
So along those lines, I'll jump ahead to one of the questions I have. You know, you hear a lot about the habits of highly effective people. I was wondering what some good habits are you could share with us that you have.
Well, good habits are to be very organized, to try to either mentally or physically have a list of things to do. I make my lists very early in the morning or late at night. And they are handed out. They're the dreaded. I call them the to-do list. And now I can send them out via email, which it saves a little bit of time. But I always print them out too, and they're pasted with Scotch tape on my kitchen counter for people who come into the house. That's at home, and they're also sent to the office for things to do there also. So being organized is extremely important if you're really trying to do a lot of things. And then having conversations are also very important. With my company was just merged into another company, and I have new partners to work with, and I'm really enjoying it because I finally have real partners who are actually conversant. They talk, and they are doing things, and they want to talk every day, which I like to do. I like telephone calls. The phone used to ring. I used to get 110 phone calls a day. I counted them. And now the phone ring, you get 10, 20 phone calls a day. And I want to make those valuable phone calls.
Another big question is about...
Do you get phone calls?
I don't get phone calls. When the phone rings, you think someone died, right? Is everyone... I panic when the phone rings now. But I do like phone calls, and I do like snail mail. I always tell people looking for jobs, mail the resume, because nobody gets mail anymore. You're just going to be one of several hundred resumes in an email.
Right.
Yeah.
Le Cordon Bleu, the renowned culinary school, was founded in Paris 122 years ago by a young journalist named Mademoiselle de Staël. In 1895, she launched the first weekly culinary magazine called La Cuisinière Le Cordon Bleu. She invited subscribers to take part in free cooking lessons with the chefs featured in her magazine, and from there, the school was born. In the years since, Le Cordon Bleu's world-class instructors have taught French classical culinary techniques to everyone from home enthusiasts to food world legends. If you've ever dreamed of attending culinary school, maybe it's time to start living that dream. Check out one of Le Cordon Bleu's 35 locations around the world, or add a short vacation or weekend program at one of its schools to your next vacation. Visit cordonbleu.edu for course descriptions, dates, online registration, and to discover which school is best for you. It's all possible at Le Cordon Bleu.
Food waste. It's a topic we talk about a lot, and there are actually a few food waste questions. So how do you approach food waste? As a caterer, this is from Zoe Ford from Montreal. As a caterer, I'm always dealing with leftovers or having purchased too much of one thing. The world seems to be talking a lot about food waste, and I'm sure you have some crafty thoughts on the matter.
Well, my mom used to work in a grocery store when she was in high school, she told me, and she loved to look at a basket that was coming through at the cashier, and she liked to figure out what it would cost exactly, and she would come within pennies of the total. She had a very mathematical mind, and she could do that. So I play that game. So if I go to the grocery store with $20.02, I try to buy exactly $20.02 worth of stuff. And it's just haphazard, but it's kind of a fun game. And you can eliminate waste. Instead of buying the 5-pound bag of onions, you buy 3 onions. How many do you really need? Probably 2 onions. But I like to have a little tiny bit extra just in case somebody else decides to come for dinner. So I buy small quantities of things instead of the giant quantities. I do not go to the Costco's and the what's that other club? Sam's Club. I don't go to those places because I don't want to buy. I don't want to buy 44 rolls. But I do look for specials in the grocery store. And I do go to the grocery store sometimes. I don't like going to the grocery store too much, but I want to know how much things cost. And when in my kitchens at the magazine, I go in there and say, how much is this, how much is that? And it's astonishing how few people know what anything costs. Anybody under 30 years old, they don't know anything.
You don't mean anything literally.
No, about how what things cost. And I'm very frugal. I am very frugal. And so I think being organized and about waste, there's a new thing happening which I'm very excited about, and that is the meals that come in a box. all the ingredients that allow you to cook, but there's no waste. There's no shopping, there's no waste. And I think that, how many of you have tried those? You know, the everything from the Marley Spoon, Blue Apron, Fresh, Hello Fresh, Purple Carrot. There's around 10 or 11 of them now popping up. But I don't think it's a fad. I really do think that it is a trend. And I think that it will get better and better, and the meals are actually, they could be really good. And some of them are better than others. We've been testing them at the magazine, and I think they're very interesting. And I think that eliminates the massive waste, not only at the home level, but for the supplier level, because those suppliers know exactly how many meals they have to prepare of meal number one next week for shipping out. So they order exactly what they need, and that goes into the box. So they don't waste anything. And I think it's going to take on the grocery stores in a big way. And I think it's a really good thing.
Do you see doing a Martha Stewart meal delivery?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah. Do you know when?
No.
So since we're speaking about meals, Emily Schalschitz from the blog A Little Gathering wants to know, what's your go-to meal when you're not in the mood to cook?
Oh, my go-to meal when I'm not in the mood to cook, so I can't cook anything?
Maybe you can cook a little.
Oh, well,
Do you still cook?
Well, I came home today from this plane ride, and I was hungry because I hadn't had any breakfast, and I love making eggs. I raise hens. I have 200 or so hens, and they lay beautiful eggs, and my guinea hens are laying now, too, and guinea eggs are delicious. So I made myself 5 scrambled eggs, which I ate, and they're very good. So I'll do scrambled eggs, and I also learned, I think it was at Bouvet. Oh, no, it was at San Ambrose. I wondered why their scrambled eggs were so fluffy. And they put the eggs in one of the little cappuccino milk pitchers. You whisk them around with a fork, and then you steam them with the steam of the cappuccino machine. And I have one of those big machines in my kitchen, and it makes the best scrambled eggs in about 20 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's not a total mess?
No, it's perfect. It's all in the thing, and it pops right out. Wow. And you have this fluffy pile of delicious eggs, and you don't have to use, if you want to use butter, you can use like a quarter of a teaspoon of butter, and it's delicious.
Okay.
Yeah, so try those. You have to get the cappuccino machine, and that costs about $5,000. But it's worth the investment. I mean, it really is.
It will pay for itself in the long run.
It does.
You know that. But do you cook much?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You still enjoy it?
Yeah, well, I made for dinner last night. My friends were cooking. They were the two guys had ordered steaks from Lobel's. And talk about, the Lobel's steaks for South Carolina, for Charleston. So they were cooking steaks and asparagus, and they didn't have any dessert. So I made two pies. And, this is after a whole day of stuff. I went and made two delicious sort of key lime saltine crusted pies, those Atlantic beach pies, and they were a huge hit. I like to bake.
So a lot of people also want to know how Martha relaxes. So the first question is from the team at the Hudson Cakery in Weehawken, New Jersey. They would like to know, how do you recharge?
Well, one thing I love to do is horseback ride, and when I got off the plane this morning, I rushed home, ate my eggs, and then got on my horse. And I rode for an hour, and that was fun. That's a good way, because it's fresh air, and it's easy, and it's nice to be out in nature, and it's nice to see what's going on in the woods, and also what's going on in the climate.
Marissa A. Ross of Wine All the Time, some of you might be fans of her wine reviews, she wants to know, what wine do you relax with?
I love white Burgundy, so I'm always looking for interesting white Burgundies from wherever. I mean, I just recently found a really good one from New Zealand. I love Aligoté, which is a lesser Burgundy in the Burgundy region of France.
So I just love Meursault. I love all those good white Burgundies.
The next question is from my sister. So my mom's here, so I needed to work some family stuff into this. But she is a big scrapbooker, and she would like to know, what do you think is the next big crafting trend, and is scrapbooking dead?
Oh. Well, I have a line of craft products at in various stores in America, and paper scrapbooking is on the wane. It really is. But I think that photography scrapbooks, if they're online or up in a cloud or somewhere, can still be very effective ways to preserve memories. And I do that all the time, and I religiously file my photographs, family things, and I have a blog, which really makes it very easy because I can do all that personal stuff on a blog, which saves time. But I think there are lots of other things that people are doing to enjoy creativity, and it's making things for your home, learning new techniques for knitting, crocheting. I don't think tatting is going to come back anytime soon. I spent weeks learning how to tat. Do you know what that is?
I don't know what tatting is.
Tatting makes those little, it's almost like lace making with a stupid little device, this little metal thing that, and even fine crocheting is not so popular. But I think needle crafts and sewing is a big deal. And making your own clothes. And young girls are making, are sewing. Darcy Miller, who started the Weddings magazine with me, her little girl is, I think, 9, one of her 3 girls, and she is sewing everything. I gave her a sewing machine, and she's a fantastic sewer. So I think those are the kinds of things that are that people are working on, dyeing fabrics to personalize. There's a lot of really, really great crafting and painting. Lots of paint crafts are very popular now.
You mentioned Darcy Miller. I only know Darcy through Martha Stewart's Empire. And when I was thinking about questions for Martha, I realized, you've always supported and promoted other women, both within and outside your organization, but without making a big deal about it. And in fact, you've been called by many a feminist by example. And I was curious, is this something that you think actively about, or is this something that just comes naturally to you?
Well, I actually am very proud when somebody who's worked with me becomes famous and well-known in his or her field. I am. My first general counsel is now the CEO of Barry Diller's Empire. Greg Blatt, his name is. And he was 27 when he came to work for me. He was brilliant. I was sorry to lose him. But this guy is now running a huge empire of digital properties, and I'm very proud of that. I saw Susan Spungen in the audience. Hi, Susan. Susan Spungen was my first food editor. I think her first job was ironing sheets. Was that true? Ironing sheets for a photo shoot. And Susan has become, a very famous stylist for movies. She does all of so many movies that you've seen that have really beautiful food scenes in them. It's nice to see this happened. There's designers for Ralph Lauren who have worked for me, and many other magazine editors have worked for me. It's great.
So in terms of supporting other women, though, was that always a priority, or was it just something that came naturally?
I think the field that I'm in was primarily a women-oriented business. A women's magazine, products for the home, attracting more women. But I always say to everyone, especially advertisers, that the male audience is our fastest growing audience.
Also some questions about fundraising and funding your business. And a few people were curious, how would you fund your business today if you were just starting out?
Well, I pretty much funded the same way that I funded my business to start with, by being a sole entrepreneur, not borrowing, but rather taking, well, when I say not borrowing, not going and giving away the whole thing to lenders. The best example is Susan Magrino, who runs a very extraordinary PR firm. When she was starting out, she came to me and she said, "Do you think I should take out a loan? I could give, you know, I can give away 40% or 50% of my business." I said, "No, go to your father, tell him you'll pay him back in a year, and borrow whatever you need to pay the rent and to buy the machinery, the stuff you need in your office." She did that, and she paid him back within less than a year with her clients, and she has built a really, really extraordinary business, which is probably very valuable now, that she could sell, and she owns 100% of it. Shared it with her sisters, and she's done a good job. But I think it depends on the kind of idea that you have. If it's a huge manufacturing idea, you're going to have to probably partner with somebody to get off the ground. I remember going with my magazine idea to a banker, Lionel Pincus, and I asked him to just give me an idea of what he would give me as an investor. And he said, "Oh, yeah, he heard the story. Oh, yeah, 60-40, no problem." And I said, "40 for you?" And he said, "No, 60 for me." And I said, "Oh, excuse me." And I just got up and walked out, because you can't let that happen. You have to try to maintain as much of the ownership as you can yourself. It's very important when you're starting out. You can dilute and dilute after you get more established, and as your business grows, and you can dilute. But I still owned more than 40% of my business when I sold it.
What do you think of things like Kickstarter and crowdfunding?
I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful that there are opportunities for smaller entrepreneurs with big ideas to be able to get loans that are actually good loans.
The next question comes from Andrea Sarkissian, and she wants to know, what advice would wiser Martha give to younger Martha?
Oh, a wiser Martha give to me. Well, I mean, some's personal and some's business.
You can share both.
Okay, well, have a bigger family. I only had one child, which was stupid, because I should have had more children. I love children, and I would have liked, I would like to have a much bigger family than I have. I have to rely on my nieces and nephews to fill in instead of my own children, but they're doing a great job. And in business, I've had a very interesting career. And it's been extremely enlightening in business. I think that I'm lucky to have been able to be in so many places and do so many things in such a short period of time. But an entrepreneur has to keep his or her nose to the grindstone, has to keep your eye on the ball. I like to do a lot of different things, and that might be a problem for me, maybe a little bit more focus. But I'm pretty focused, and enjoy the and what you can what you've done, and give back. If I hadn't had my legal problem, that hideous legal problem, I would have had much more money to give back. But I've still made sure that I give back in as big a way as I possibly can. So that's important.
So, not to get too personal, but since you brought up the motherhood and children part, that came up a lot in a lot of the conversations today. So, for a lot of people in this room, they're trying to figure out, how do I have a career in food and how do I have a family? So, do you have any more advice on how do you figure out what's right for you and not make the wrong decision, or is there ever a wrong decision?
Well, everything, things without a family might look really great. But it's not so great long-term if you don't have the family. And I think having the family is so important. I think not being so self-centered that it's all about you and not about other people is not the right attitude at all. I think you really have to have that that nuclear family around you, your nucleus of a family. I think it's very important. And I think children also give you a balance. And not that you can balance your life. I'm not talking about it. It's so hard. It is so hard. I kind of lost focus on a husband after 27 years, and he ran away. But it's okay. But you know, it's when women say, "Oh, they can have it all." It's hard to have it all. but it's also very important to have as much of it as you can.
When you started your business, this is from Morgan Wiener of the blog Improv Kitchen. When you started your business, did you know or have a sense of the empire that you would create?
You never know. You never know what's really going to come. But you can sort of pay attention and find a few people, like-minded people to work with. I was really lucky about finding there a couple great people in the beginning who helped me with clarifying what I was striving for. And I think that made a big difference.
We have 1 minute left with Martha. What is something that people would be surprised to know about you? That's from Jamie Sid.
I don't know. My life is such an open book. It's so terrible. I think everybody knows everything about me. I like funny people. And I love good comedy. I don't know. I like Johnny Appleseed. I want to plant trees. That's all I really want to do is plant trees. It's a hard question.
Okay. We'll go to the next one. This one might be even harder, but any final words of advice for the people in this room?
Well, if you are in the world of food, we have a lot of challenges. We have factory farms we have to control. We have to treat animals in a much nicer way than we're treating them. We have to cut down our consumption of meat. We will cut down a tremendous amount of pollution and climate change just by eliminating factory farm beef farms and pig farms and chicken farms. We will cut out a tremendous amount of pollution, and that's a big first step in cleaning up our environment and our climate. I'm very worried about the climate changes. I'm very worried about the overheating Earth. Today, there's a huge article about the coral reefs, and 30% of them are already bleached and no longer dead. When they become dead, they're not helping the sea life. When you read about the Antarctic melting, the big ice cap melting, and New York's, we're not going to be in New York anymore. This is going to be covered with 13 feet of water. The seas are going to rise, and there's not going to be a Shanghai. There's not going to be New York. There's not going to be any sea, no Charleston, for heaven's sake. So we have to really worry about all of that. And I think we should focus more, as Michael Pollan tells us, on a more vegetable-centric diet. Which would help a lot. Raise your own chickens. Get your own eggs. Just 12 chickens, and you can eat so well with the eggs. And they eat all your vegetables. I have this little ecosystem going. The kitchens at Martha Stewart Living give me the compost every single day from the kitchens. So all the scraps, everything non-meat, go into these big tubs. I take them home every night. And the chickens eat all that stuff. And my daughter gives me all her scraps from her kitchen and all my scraps. And the chickens never stop laying this winter. They are so happy, and they lay the most beautiful, delicious eggs. And then everybody shares the eggs. So that's just a simple little step, but it works. And it makes you feel good about not wasting and not polluting.
Martha, thank you so much. Thank you again for being inspiration.
Thank you so much to Martha Stewart and her team, and thank you for listening. If, like us, you can't get enough of Martha, then head to our website, cherrybomb.com, your local indie bookstore, or Barnes & Noble to purchase our brand new issue featuring her as our cover girl. As only Martha can, she drops tons of wisdom about life, work, and dealing with these crazy times. You can also find brilliant recipes from the New York Times' Melissa Clark, Alexandra Stafford, author of the cookbook Bread, Toast, Crumbs, and Grace Ramirez, the dynamo behind La Latina, a cook's journey through Latin America. If you don't already, subscribe to Radio Cherry Bomb on iTunes and leave us a rating. If you want to follow my adventures around New York, you can follow me on Instagram at Hester Cant. And be sure to follow at Cherry Bomb Mag for all the latest updates on women in the world of food. Thanks for listening. You're the bomb.
Hi, I'm Amandine, and I'm a baker based in London. My little bakery is Jacques et Lily. Radio Cherry Bomb is a joint production of Cherry Bomb Magazine and the Heritage Radio Network. To subscribe or learn more about the magazine, visit cherrybomb.com. You know who I think is a bomb? My bomb is my grandma. She's my inspiration and what I started this little story that is Jacques and Lily.